Well, the billionaire businessman Clive Palmer is on the political comeback trail, and as he tries to shore up votes for his United Australia Party with an election cash splash of around $50 million so far, he's also moved to neutralise a tax over unpaid entitlements to workers at his failed Queensland nickel refinery. But it's not the only business issue he'll have to manage if his bid to win a Senate seat is successful. Here's our business reporter, Justine Parker.
From iron ore in Western Australia to coal in Queensland, Clive Palmer's a significant player in Australia's mining industry. Here he is at his campaign launch this week.
If we take our resources from Queensland and Western Australia and we send them to South Australia, New South Wales and Victoria and Tasmania, we can process our own minerals. And instead of selling our minerals for $100 a tonne, we can get $15,000 to $20,000 for them.
The billionaire businessman is still being chased in the courts for not paying entitlements to his former workers, who lost their jobs when his Queensland nickel refinery near Townsville collapsed.
They've been lodged, right? They're being processed now, and we'd anticipate that they will be paid in about 10 days' time, which is well before the election.
But if he wins a Senate seat, it's his interest in the Galilee Basin in central Queensland that may attract a different kind of scrutiny. Clive Palmer's Waratah Coal Company wants to develop a massive mine there. And while Adani's controversial Carmichael Coal Project in the basin is proving a tricky issue for the major parties this election campaign, the Queensland businessman has no such qualms. He's throwing his full support behind opening up mines in the region. And his political interests are backing those business interests. His United Australia Party says it, too, is strongly committed to the support and future development of the Queensland coal industry. When asked about the party founder's interests in the Galilee Basin, a spokesperson for the UAP has told RN Breakfast,
"He clearly, loudly, proudly will tell you that he's the biggest holder of coal resources in Queensland, much bigger than Adani. So, of course, he'll support the development of coal in Queensland."
Adani's Carmichael project has faced years of delays, financial and political. Environment Minister Melissa Price finally gave it federal approval the day before the election was called, but it's still got more hurdles to jump. If it goes ahead, it will be the first coal mine to be developed in the Galilee Basin. And because Adani's building a 200-kilometre rail line to help get the coal to Abbott Point Port, it makes Clive Palmer's Galilee projects and others owned by the billionaire Gina Rinehart more likely to go ahead too. Here's Tim Buckley. He's Director of Energy Finance Studies for the Institute of Energy Economics and Financial Analysis.
If they get through all of the approvals, and if they actually find the capital to actually develop it, they will create and enable a lot of the required infrastructure that potentially then opens up to another eight other mega mines, which in total have approved capacity of 320 million tonnes per annum, which is a 30% expansion of the global seaborne thermal coal sector.
Tim Buckley says the Adani project is a game changer.
This is not a small project. It is the enabling project for the biggest series of coal project expansions in the world. So it is the biggest carbon bomb under proposed development in the world.
But others aren't so sure whether the green light for Adani and its new rail line will also mean mines like Clive Palmer's will go ahead. Here's Victor Tenevsky. He's Wood Mackenzie's principal coal analyst.
That line will have a capacity of about 40 million tonnes per annum. Now, in the initial stages, Adani's coal project will only export about 10 million tonnes per annum, so there is going to be free capacity and optionality for others to come onto the line. However, we see a larger constraint at the port of Abbott Point. There'll be minimal free capacity to ship additional tonnes beyond Carmichael. So, I mean, should other projects, you know, be it Gina Rinehart or Clive Palmer's projects, come on in any great scale, in our view, it will require the build of new ports, new terminals around Abbott Point, which would come at the additional cost.
So what does all this mean for businessman and aspiring politician Clive Palmer? His preference deal with the Liberal Party and One Nation's recent troubles mean he could win a Senate seat in Queensland and sit on the crossbench, effectively becoming a kingmaker in the next parliament. But what if he or any other members of his party have to vote on bills or rules which could affect his business interests in places like the Galilee Basin? The United Australia Party spokesperson told RN Breakfast,
"If there's a conflict of interest, he'd follow the rules and procedures. He doesn't see any conflicts of interest, and if there were, he'd follow the rules and procedures."
We've been here before. 5 years ago, it wasn't the United Australia Party, but the Palmer United Party, or PUP. Clive Palmer was the member for the Sunshine Coast seat of Fairfax in the lower house. And in the upper house, there were four PUP senators holding the balance of power. Back then, the coalition wanted to repeal the carbon tax and the mining tax. Clive Palmer and his PUP senators voted in favour of that. He denied he had a conflict of interest. He said he was just an investor in his businesses, not a key player. Clive Palmer isn't the first Australian politician to face potential conflicts of interest due to his business dealings, and he won't be the last. Here's AJ Brown, Professor of Public Policy and Law at Griffith University and a board member of Transparency International.
It's not clear when an individual senator or parliamentarian is voting according to a clear conception of the public interest or their personal interest is having a major sway. The way to get clearer on that is to have clearer principles in a code of conduct which reinforce that the primary duty of the parliamentarian is to the broad public interest, and if necessary, they should absent themselves from decisions of those kinds in order to make that clear.
It's perhaps no surprise that our trust in politicians is weakening. AJ Brown says Australia has been falling behind when it comes to public integrity. But he says we can and should do better.
People are entitled to stand for politics. People are entitled to spend some money in support of standing for politics. But at the end of the day, we have to be very cognizant of the fact that the duty to represent a constituency in the parliament is to represent that entire constituency and the public interest, not just to represent one's own interests or a particular industry.
That's AJ Brown, Professor of Public Policy and Law at Griffith University and a board member of Transparency International, ending that report from Justine Parker.